Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study titled, Why Did Jesus Come to Earth? This was presented as part of our Christmas candlelight service, Wednesday, December 20th, 2017. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com or send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study titled, Why Did Jesus Come to Earth? This is part one of two.
All right, first we're going to have a little comic relief here. Senator Sherrod Brown admits he doesn't use his brain.
I do things, but I'm not working in a diner. I'm not working construction. I don't use my arms and shoulders and brain and legs to do my work. We work here.
Come again?
I do things, but I'm not working in a diner. I'm not working construction. I don't use my arms and shoulders and brain and legs to do my work. We work here.
He doesn't use his brain.
Obviously.
He's one I could do it easy.
I vote for him.
Sure.
I don't use my brain.
You know, give him credit. At least he's being honest.
Yes, that's true.
He sounds like Fred Sanford.
Okay, now we have a more serious message from our president. I really do listen to what he says about Christmas here. We haven't heard this for many years.
Today's a day that I've been looking very much forward to all year long. It's one that we have heard and we speak about and we dream about. And now, as the President of the United States, it's my tremendous honor to finally wish America and the world a very Merry Christmas. I want to thank everyone who has come together here right in front of the White House, and everyone watching from home to see the lighting of this incredible national Christmas tree. From the earliest days of our nation, Americans have known Christmas as a time for prayer and worship, for gratitude and goodwill, for peace and renewal. Melania and I are full of joy at the start of this very blessed season. We're thrilled to think of the people across the nation and all across the continents whose spirits are lifted by the miracle of Christmas. For Christians, this is a holy season, the celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Christmas story begins 2,000 years ago with a mother, a father, their baby son, and the most extraordinary gift of all, the gift of God's love for all of humanity. Whatever our beliefs, we know that the birth of Jesus Christ and the story of this incredible life forever changed the course of human history. There's hardly an aspect of our lives today that his life has not touched: art, music, culture, law, and our respect for the sacred dignity of every person everywhere in the world. Each and every year at Christmas time, we recognize that the real spirit of Christmas is not what we have. It's about who we are. Each one of us is a child of God. That is the true source of joy this time of the year. That is what makes every Christmas merry. And that is what we remember at today's beautiful ceremony, that we are called to serve one another, to love one another, and to pursue peace in our hearts and all throughout the world. And so tonight, I thank the millions of Americans who light our lives and brighten our wonderful communities. I thank those who are serving the needy during the season and throughout the year. I thank our military men and women who are stationed around the world, keeping us safe. I thank our law enforcement officers who protect our streets and secure our homeland. I thank America's teachers, pastors, and all those religious and those people that have taught us so much for their leadership in our communities and our society. And especially tonight, I thank America's families. At Christmas, we are reminded more than ever that the family is the bedrock of American life. And so this Christmas, we ask for God's blessings for our family, for our nation. And we pray that our country will be a place where every child knows a home filled with love, a community rich with hope, and a nation blessed with faith. On behalf of Melania, myself, Barron, all of my children, all of my grandchildren, they're here with us tonight. I want to thank you. God bless you. And God bless the United States of America. Thank you very much. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Thank you.
You might remember last year at one of the Christmas meetings, I played Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. It's been since Ronald Reagan that we had a president who talked like that. Been a long time coming. And people can say whatever you want out there in TV land. I'm going to eat it up. I don't care. You can call me, say I'm getting political or whatever you want to say. Bah humbug. I am going to eat it up. We're not going to have a president like this, I don't think, very long. I hope he gets reelected and we have another 4 years, but I think the way it just looks like we're going to be raptured out before that. And, yeah, I think what's worse than what people have accused me from time to time being political is to be ungrateful. And God has given us a man who is the best friend of Christians that we've known in the White House since Reagan. And what an ungrateful bunch some of these people are. And I'm not going to be one of them. I'm going to be grateful. And last year, if there was anything besides Gloria that I was cherishing as a gift, it was the election of President Donald Trump. A gift. Yes. And so we're still able to celebrate Christmas. We're still able to gather like we do. You say, well, that's not been in danger. Oh, yes, it is. The liberals in this country would like to shut down every church that continues to preach against abortion, every church that preaches against so-called gay marriage, every church that stands against the liberal agenda, and eventually they're going to stand against us if we stand against the New World Order. That's where we're going, if the Lord tarries. So I don't take it for granted. I'm very grateful and thankful that we can come together on the Wednesday before Christmas, or last Wednesday night service. We're going to just talk a little bit about why did Jesus come to earth. And I want to go back to Philippians we studied a few weeks ago in our Sunday studies. Go back. Philippians, and of course that's right after Ephesians, which we had studied on Sundays before that. Philippians chapter 2, and just for a few minutes, have a little Bible study, a little Bible teaching, where we have a little candlelight song. And Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, while you turn there, I'd like to open with prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word, and just for the next few minutes.
just to glean some things. A lot of this is just reminders, but other things. Lord, it's your word. It's just powerful and discerner between of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we can read passages over and over, and the Holy Spirit today would show us something or open our eyes to something or reveal something in us, reveal something in our lives that we need to see. It's just amazing what the Holy Spirit does with these words that we'll see in a moment. Jesus said, our spirit and their life. And so we ask you, help us as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. Philippians 2, beginning verse 5. Try not to cough any more than necessary tonight. I actually took a suppressant to try to hold it back a little bit. But starts in verse 5 by saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it tells you what this mind is, and basically, we'll read it, but just to give you a little summary before we jump in there, he gave everything up in order to save you from hell. That's the mind that's in Christ. Sacrifice. And so when we see the little nativity scenes this Christmas, we see a little baby. That little baby was the King of Heaven. Not only he didn't just humble himself, as we're going to see, but I mean, humbled himself. He didn't just come. He could have arrived. I say this, it's not meant to be irreverent. He could have showed up on a spaceship, stepped out as a 33-year-old man, or 30, I'd say. We'll say 30-year-old man and say, all right, my ministry is beginning today. Didn't do that. Came as a little baby. That's what it means in verse 7. It says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And that is talking about him being made. He came as a baby. Think about God, the Son. Jenny told me this year, for some reason, I think she might be holding the reason, but for some reason, this idea of God becoming a baby just had not really dawned on her and affected her the way it has this year. I say this, and just the truth, just a fact of the matter, I think anyone who's carried a baby and had a baby, I can't imagine what you can think about and feel when it comes to this that I can't. And the fact that it was more than just a normal carrying of a child. It's a wonderful gift. This baby's online, several people that we know celebrating the birth of children. Wonderful gift. Mansfield's son, Quentin, and his Abigail. We enjoyed watching Abigail in plays up in Bell Fountain. And she did a great job as a teenage girl acting. Now she's married and having babies. And it's just an amazing thing. If it's your niece or nephew, if it's your, anybody you know, you see that baby. And I don't know. I just would like to maybe I start asking people, when you've held that baby, did you think about the fact Jesus was like that one time? You hold that little baby, you think about your Savior came to be a baby like that so he could grow up and die for your sins. And took himself of no reputation, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, read that with me. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Man, that sums up the whole purpose of the Christmas story right there. He being found in fashion as a man, of course, a man baby to start with. And you see the little nativity. And I don't know why, but the one out here in Worthington, you seen that one out here in front of the Methodist Church? Isn't that beautiful? The baby's missing. Maybe that's why. We were walking downtown, and Jenny's like, call 911.
the baby's missing. And they had something sitting there, but I couldn't tell what it was. Maybe it says, you know, delivery coming soon or something. That'd be a great idea if they do that. Steve thinks it's creepy, but I think it's a great idea. But somebody in Worthington, let us know, because we may not be around on Christmas Day. Yeah. So, that's Christmas Day. Yeah, we're not going to be here. If they leave it out for a few days, we'll see it. But that's why I was kind of looking at the nativity, everything else. And Jenny, being grandma, she looked right for the baby. And the baby's gone. But when you see those little nativities, you know, we can get real technical. When the wise men showed up, he probably wasn't a baby. Well, we know he wasn't a baby. And he wasn't an infant anyway. That's why Herod had two and under killed. Because he was probably approaching two. Or real close to 2 years old by the time the wise men showed up. When you see the nativities, they're not meant to be an exact detail. They're giving people the general idea Jesus came to die for our sins. And we see the little baby, fashioned as a man, humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And here's the good part. This is the spoiler alert. Verse 9, why did he come? Yes, he came to die. He came to save us. But God's ultimate plan is that he's going to rule and reign as king of all. Amen. King of all. Bigger than master of the universe. Amen. As a kid, I'd watch those cartoons. And then when I got saved, and I was about 19 years old, and I thought, wait a minute. Jesus is really master of the universe. And it's funny how some of those, we were talking about this the other day, Johnny, that Superman, he's basically a Jesus ripoff. You know? But a lot of these superheroes, Santa Claus is a Jesus ripoff, if you think about it. You know, he's omniscient, he knows when you're sleeping, knows when you're awake, and all that stuff. I'm not going to go on a tear, and some of you people on Facebook need to lighten up a little bit. And somebody posted a picture of a real wicked-looking Santa Claus, and it's given Doug nightmares ever since he saw it. Right. I think that was Earl Dressel. Yeah.
Wouldn't you have hated to have been Jesus' brother, though? Why aren't you as smart as Jesus?
Why can't you be more like your brother?
Yeah.
Because I'm not the savior of the world. I'm not the master of the universe. I can't live up to that. James and John, and Joseph, you got a few of them. Don't tell the Catholics that. So, the end game is he's going to be master, king of the universe, with a name above every name. Of course, what do we study Sunday? He's lifted his word above his name. That's something to think about, but we won't get back into that. Talked about that last 2 weeks ago, I think it was. That at the name of Jesus, not Yeshua, Yahshua, your English, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. That means everything. Whether it's NASA or the Navy, Jesus is Lord over all of it. In verse 11, read that with me. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. By the way, he did not come to establish the Roman Catholic Church and the papacy. He didn't come to establish any of the cults that exist who claim to be the one true church with a head over everybody. The church is God's people. Amen. The head is who?
Christ.
Not the Pope. And not yours truly.
Amen.
I'm not your head. I provide leadership in the local church in a very practical sense. But your head is Jesus Christ. And that's why I don't like when people call me reverend. Ain't nothing reverend about this guy. The only thing reverend about me is the Spirit of God in me. And that's the same Spirit in every one of you if you're saved. So if you're going to call me Reverend, I'm going to call you Reverend. Reverend Greg, Reverend Charlie. By the way, I got a new phone. I'm not even sure I can turn off the ringer. Mariah? See if you can turn that ringer off. Look at Ephesians 3:15. We studied this a few months ago in Ephesians. What's it say? Of whom the whole family based in Rome is named, right? No, that's not what it says. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That's why a lot of these fundamentalist nut jobs don't like it, but we do not believe that the local church is the only reference to church in the Bible. There are local churches references with the use of the word church. There's also a church in the Old Testament that isn't the church of Jesus Christ, the church in the wilderness. And there's also the church that is in heaven. And it is all the saved. Amen. Every saved person is in the church that's in heaven. And we're all one big family, whether you're dead in Christ or alive in Christ. Amen? Amen. So why did Jesus come to earth? Well, he came as a male baby, not as an Asian woman. You're like, I've got to see what your point here is. Well, because there's this church called the Church of the Almighty God in China that is now reaching around the world. They have more than 1 million members. And they say that Jesus is a Chinese woman. And you think I'm kidding. It's more than 1 million people. The first thing they do is put a video in people's hands where it's a long video, it's like a course, where they talk you out of believing that the Bible is all there is. They'll say the Bible is, it's just like the Book of Mormon. They'll say the Bible is the Word of God, but it's not all the Word of God. There is more. And they actually will adopt all the other holy books and say, well, yeah, that's the Word of God too, but this is the book you really need to read, and it's their Bible. Excuse me? Oh yeah, that's the problem when all the cults actually, that's why they lose members. The members read the Bible and say, wait a minute, problem here. It was the back of a restaurant behind the fry stand, the grease-slick counter, the droves of gawking patrons where the murder happened. The restaurant was a McDonald's. Probably on Christmas morning. It was a Wednesday evening. The murderers who bludgeoned the woman to death with chairs and a mop belonged to a cult described as China's most radical, called the Church of the Almighty God. It claims to have 1 million followers, aggressively promotes doomsday scenarios, wants to destroy the Chinese Communist Party, and believes that Jesus Christ has returned as a Chinese woman. That's for real. Now, you think that's crazy? There are crazier cults on the campus of Ohio State University. And that's why we need to know the real Jesus, amen? And we need to know as much as we can know. We need to just keep studying. Why did Jesus come to the earth? And that's the guard. If these people in that cult knew why Jesus came to earth, they'd know he was never going to come as an Asian woman.
Amen.
Amen? We also know his name wouldn't be David Koresh or Jim Jones.
Right.
See? They'd also know that if an angel from heaven come preaching any other gospel to Joseph Smith, then they wouldn't listen.
Amen.
Or as the Watchtower Society claims, angels come to them and give them their teachings. Well, we know the Bible warned us about that, so we reject it. Amen? And when you make this book your final authority, you don't fall for that stuff.
Amen.
That's why the story behind Christmas, regardless of the traditions and what you choose to do and not to do, as long as it doesn't go against the Word of God, we're not going to make a big deal about that. But the story is so important about God, the Son, second person of the Trinity, becoming a man to die for the sins of the world. turn over to John 6.
And let's look at the mission in the words of Jesus. We're not going to read all this, but John 6. You ought to read the whole chapter sometime. But start at verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father which giveth you the true bread from heaven." Verse 33, "For the bread of God is he," not she. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from" where? "And giveth life unto the world." Let me tell you, it about knocked my socks off when I was 19 years old sitting in a pew and heard one of the worst sermons I ever heard. And then right smack dab in the middle of that bad sermon that didn't have anything to do with anything, he went on for about 5 minutes about how Jesus left heaven to die for you. And you know what he did for 5 minutes that knocked my socks off was he described heaven. And when you describe heaven, and then you realize Jesus left that behind to die for your sins. You know, the thing about Paul that amazes me is he went there and came back and wasn't beside himself. Because I just can't imagine. It's the same thing with these people who claim to go to hell and come back. I don't believe them. I think if somebody went to hell and came back, you'd have to lock them up in the loony bin. I don't think anybody could actually suffer in hell and come back and be normal. You talk about PTSD for being in war. Hell is war times a million. Non-stop suffering and thirst, torment. And they're supposed to go on there for a period of time and then come back up here and going to write books. Every one of them writes books. Same thing with heaven. I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get anybody in trouble, although some of these preachers are dead now. But I've heard preachers over the years say they think that Paul really wanted to die. The reason why he appealed to Caesar was because he was ready to go. He was done. And the reason was because he'd already been to heaven. He knew what he was missing. Right. And the more you study about in heaven, the more you'll believe that. Not suicide. Kind of like suicide by cop. Only, you know, it was a long drug out thing and he had to travel to Rome, and the book of Acts tells some of those stories and we read about what he went through. Pretty amazing though that when you think about heaven and then you think about Jesus coming from heaven. Verse 34, "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." Verse 35, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Saw a cute little nativity scene one day. A guy had found these Coke cans where one said Maria and one said Joseph. I think they were Mexican. And in the middle where the baby goes, they had a loaf of bread. That's pretty good. How many of you are still awake? You're not awake. Were you listening? You had Joseph, not the Coke, that's not your focal point here. On the can, it said Joseph and Maria for Mary, in case you didn't know Spanish like I do. And then in between Joseph and Mary was a loaf of bread. Why? Because we just read where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." See? And Coke's the real thing. I guess you said that too. I just thought it was good. Jesus goes on, verse 36, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will nowise cast out. For I am come down from" where? "For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me."